Then I'll enter through the gate, walk on streets the saints have trod. Then these hands of mine shall touch the hand of God. Then I'll enter through the gate, walk on streets the saints have trod. Then these hands of mine shall touch the hand of God. Then these hands of mine shall touch the hands of God. What a joy to be in God's house on this Sunday morning. The reason I didn't have my jacket on because I wore this shirt with cufflinks until Hunter walked in. So I just want to prove to Hunter that I can actually put them cufflinks in this morning. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? There was once a very, very wise man who was asked one time, he asked that question, "Are you a Christian?" And I love his response because he said, "Well, that's a pretty silly question to ask." He said, "Why don't you go to my family? Why don't you go to those I work with? Why don't you go to my banker? Why don't you go to the folks that I meet on my daily and ask them if I'm a Christian?" Amen? Amen. So many times we hear things and so many times there's so much information that is thrown at us, and I believe without a shadow of a doubt, this time in history, more than any other time, we need to simply get back to the basics of what God's Word says. I am a Christian because I believe, and I believe that in that John 3:16, for God, and say it with me, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's what I believe. I believe to be a Christian, you have to have faith. First of all, you have to believe. You have to believe. And you have to believe in this book that I have that is open in front of me. Secondly, I think you have to accept and receive. It says that even the demons realize that Jesus Christ came and died. Even the demons. But their simple knowledge does nothing for them. They have to receive in their hearts the truth. And I believe that once you accept and once you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that there's a change over in 2 Corinthians. "Therefore, if any was in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." God is in the changing business. There was a little youngster, I think, 3 or 4 years old, that was asked as they were going to eat, and they asked him to say the blessing, and he was so proud. And he started out with that, "God is great, God is good." And then he decided he had a little bit of that adult prayer in there, you know. And he said, "And thank God for the hands that have prepared this food." And I like that. You may have sat down and sometimes that food might need a little repairing. But you know what? I believe it is a tremendous principle in God's Word because God is in the repairing business. "I am a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything is new. And my friend, my friend, my friend, that is a process that we're all dealing with. The third thing I'm going to preach about is to, if you're a Christian, you got to believe. You have to accept and receive. And I think also, you have to proclaim. You got to tell people what you believe. I'm not talking about hitting anybody over the head with a Bible. I'm just simply saying that you have to be willing to state what you believe. And usually for me, it's been an old bumper sticker about Christians, not perfect, just forgiven. And I know there's so many times people and they worry within their heart and they're just so, they get so anxious when it comes time if anybody asks them and they go, oh, I can't do this because, you know, I don't know enough about the Bible to tell people. I don't know enough. And, you know, there have been things that I've done in my life and they can give you every excuse about why they don't share God's word. So today, the short message is going to be from Matthew in the 10th chapter in the 19th verse. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you. It will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Heavenly Father, I had a blessing upon the reading of your word. For just a moment, God, let us focus upon this truth that you have for each one of us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know enough about the Bible. I'm afraid if somebody asks me a question, I may not know the answer. I'm ashamed of some of the things that I've done and the people I know, they know me. So at certain times I may feel ashamed about sharing his love, but then the scripture says something very unique. It says, don't worry. Don't worry about getting it all straight in your head on what you should say, what you should speak, how you should say it. Just simply allow God to speak through you. And I'm here to tell you that that's been the times in my life that I've seen him work miracles. I've been in situations in my life. People have come to me with questions, and sadly, I've dealt with so many families during certain times of their life when they've lost a loved one so unexpectedly. And so many times in my mind and in my heart, I've not known what to say. But God has spoken. And I believe he will do that for you. Now, yesterday I went to see Pastor John. And I said, Pastor John, I want to run a little idea by you. Tomorrow, I'm going to preach out of the Washington Post. Pastor John's eyes got about that big. He got quiet and he said, yes. And I said, well, this is the paper. Some of you, I was hoping Matt would be here today because Matt doesn't know what this thing is. When I was young, you used to get this thing. Megan, you ever seen one of these things?
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while. Us old people used to sit down and go through this thing, read it. And just so happens that yesterday, Saturday, May 5th, 2018, they had an article in the paper. And I know you have fabulous vision out there and can see, but can anybody tell me what that is a picture of over there? Bill, you see that? That's a roof. It's shingles. Anybody see that? Shingles. So for the first time, I'm interested in the paper. I'll tell you right up front. I get all my news, listen to the radio over there or something comes out. I rarely, you know. And so I go over here in the middle section and I read this article about shingles. And this is the cover story about shingles. And this writer here has a full article, all these pages written about why the shingles on your roof don't last as long as they used to. And he gives on all kind of reasons over here, and he talks about this, and he talks about that, and he talks about different items. And when I got to the end of the article, I realized one thing. This writer, he ain't never touched a shingle. He ain't never tore one off. Or he ain't never nailed one on in his life. And I read this thing. And I go, wow. I said, if my father was living, oh my goodness. It talks about different things and what his ideas on and what this is and what that is. And I won't go into the article with you, but if you want to get it, you can borrow this and read it. And at some other time, I'll be glad to discuss it with you. Because my father and I had plenty of discussions about shingles. My father, for almost 50 years, he was a shingle man. Tore them off, nailed them on. When I was only about 9 or 10 years old, he'd have me up on the peak of a roof there, laying little caps for him as he would nail them down. I was so excited to get that opportunity. I never fell off. I know some of you think I fell off of my head, but I didn't. It would explain a lot, wouldn't it? When I said, John, I'm going to tell the people that if I want to find out about a subject, I want to go to someone who's been there. Someone that's had something to do with it. Now, I don't know what you thought about Hattie's prayer this morning, but my friend, let me tell you, it touched my heart. Because if I know that I am in a situation or some question I have in my mind or in my heart, I want to go to somebody that knows how to pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. I love traditions. I love the old traditions of the church. I love the things that these preachers have been getting up and preaching about for hundreds of years. I believe that as we celebrate this communion, I believe that the message of Christ dying upon that cross and the shedding of that blood for my sins and your sins is just as moving and just as true today that it has ever been. And it is a message that we need to hear. I will discuss the article. I doubt if my age I'll get up on your roof much anymore. But I'll just say that I love being in a church that still believes in the old rugged cross. That still believes that when two or three are gathered together, that God is in our midst. That still believes when there's one of us that is hurting, we should simply open our arms and put those fingers away. Amen. Amen. I'm happy that I'm in a church where I'm so blessed to be able to share the things that God lays upon my heart And I know if I went around this room today, that each one of you could share a testimony about what God has done for you in your life. Believe it or not, at work, we're actually doing a little shingle job. We're working on the clubhouse. Here at the end of the month, I'm going to go from full-time to part-time. Somebody said, you'll do that pretty easily. You don't work that much full-time anyway. Get behind thee, Satan. And it's a roof. It's not too steep. We get up there, and I've been showing the boys sometime about how to do this roof work. Put them on there and all, and they're on. And you can tell that when they start in the morning, oh, they're ready to go. Got them shovels. We're ready to go. And boy, when we're finished, they stand back and go, oh, look at what a good job we did. But the challenge, my friend, it's in the middle. It's when you're going up one rack and then you start another rack with them shingles. And then you start another rack with them shingles. And in the middle of the job, it's sometimes the toughest because that's when you got to kind of push yourself to continue. I got to go see Pastor John yesterday and I was blessed. And remember, I will give you his room number if you have complaints about this, but it's not me going to see Pastor John. It's the folks that go see Pastor John every day. It's the Carols, it's the Sylvias, it's the people who faithfully continue on in that job in the middle. It's those of you that have the great opportunity to be caregivers, and I believe that is one of the biggest challenges that you can ever face. But folks, it's your willingness to stick with it in the middle of it, in the middle of that battle. That makes all the difference. You got to believe, you got to accept, and you got to receive. And you have to be willing to proclaim Jesus Christ. He is Lord. He is Lord of my life. I'm not doing it all right. I make mistakes just like everybody else. But I'm here to tell you that I have a Savior who forgives. And thanks be unto God, He continues to forgive. Because just like that little boy said about that food, it's thanks for the hands that repaired it. And we all need a little repairing, don't we? Amen. Heavenly Father, we gather in your house and God, we feel such a warm spirit here today. We thank you for the choir using their voices to uplift your name and the joy and the blessings we all felt. We thank you for the prayer request. And God, as so many people willing to just shout out names and say, remember my friend, remember my relative who needs a touch from you. But God, today, most of all, we get to the part of the service where we get to thank you for what you did for us so many years ago. It talks about that night before as they gathered. And they gave thanks, and Jesus gave them instructions to do this in remembrance of me. So God, we ask you to bless this wafer representing the body broken and this small cup of juice representing the blood was shed. And allow us this morning to simply say thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen.